All right, welcome back, new you maniacs, comrades, to the Spinner Rack here, season 5 of the Marvel New Universe Comics podcast, not affiliated with Marvel, the voice of the new universe. We are your hosts today.
Steven with an independent look at Psi-Force number 27 and
Andy with an unofficial reading of something resembling a backup story. Kind of looks like a comic. New Universe was launched in 1986 as an imprint from Marvel Comics that was dedicated to a more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics. The original idea was the world outside your window and included real-time progress. The New Universe has changed a lot in 2 years, and now we're headed into 1989, almost. The world knows about paranormals, and the US government has started capturing and drafting them into the army and the CIA, occasionally the NSC. Pittsburgh has been destroyed, forming the Pit, unless Wilford Brimley has something to do with it. And that Pit has been creating sometimes new twisted paranormals. Only a few issues remain for each surviving series, and they also all seem to be heading towards war. War! With our podcast, you can follow along with us each week as we go through each remaining comic, the order they hit the spinner rack or hit the shelves, or just check out individual books if you already have a favorite. Want more fun stuff? Head over to www.kickersinc.com. There's fun
Look,
stuff.
I had to like put in a link to send you from kickersinc.com to www.kickersinc.com. So either way works, but
I
just
know.
go directly.
I just like typing in the W's.
I do not know why they're still so finicky about it. It seems like web 1.0 when you have to.
It does. We're working on cool stuff like some commissioned art and a handbook of the Marvel New Universe, and like a nice publication schedule if you want to know what order to read them in. And you don't feel like just looking at our podcast schedule. We're on X as at Kickers Inc. as well.
To be fair, we did have to adjust the schedule a couple of times to sort of put things together that and stick in the special editions and all that.
Right. We did it better.
Yeah, back in the day, we were pretty conscientious about things, though. We were pretty, within a couple of weeks of when it came out. So, and I think, yeah, we are. Output schedule makes a lot of sense, I hope. Anyway, this week we get back to Psi-Force. Wayne, Tyrone, Thomas, Lindsay, and Kathy, our paranormals, who have endured constant harassment from various political and corporate organizations intent on using their powers for corporate gain.
How it
Still
goes.
working on this one. This week, Psi-Force 27, the Psi-Force become Russian agents? If you think that's a shock, wait till you see the reason why. Written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Graham Nolan, and inked by Mike Witherbee.
Do we actually see the reason why? I won't spoil it, but and yeah, also we have a bonus backup story. Power play, and no universe news, so editorial was slacking this month.
Yeah, we nosed around a little. Could not find it in any of the books that came out this month. So, I'm always enjoyed it. And but okay, we'll take a look at what did come out. Let's head on into Psi-Force number 27, cover dated January 1989. 1989 is here already on the book. But it really hit the shelves September 27, 1988, after a 3 week break. Yikes. So hopefully if we've been our release schedule, since we had to stick those season 4 recap episodes in somewhere, by this point, hopefully we're getting back onto schedule.
I'm
And
guessing by the time people listen to this, it'll be all screwed up.
well, we tried, sort of. Not
Little
super hard, but
bit.
so anyway, the cover of Psi-Force 27 starts, to be honest, as collecting these, you see the covers at least. And it starts a series that'll, I think, go through this whatever multi-part saga that they have laid out. And it is a portrait of Thomas Boyd in a weird uniform or costume, looking at the reader. And in the background, we see a couple of members of the Russian super team, Daemon Dusha, as we meet him, and a very cut up part of Slitoch. No, I'm sorry, Shivotnoya, the animal woman. And there is just a logo that just says The Siberian Project Part One, introducing Heat Seeker.
A little bit of a cheat, but did you notice it's a connecting cover?
I was wondering if it was going to be, but I hadn't checked it yet.
Yeah,
I
it
just
connects with
noticed that they were
28.
similar. Oh, okay. We will put them together and see what they make when we get there.
Yeah, nobody told the colorist, but they connect.
It's a secret. Don't tell Nell. Cover was by Roy Ramos and Chris Ivy, who had that weird shrapnel backup story a couple of months ago.
Upon further sleuthing, it connects all the way at least to issue 30.
Awesome.
Secrets.
So, credits. Let me just say up front that the Marvel Age recap was wrong. It is Fabian Nicieza writing, but it's Alan Kupperberg penciling and Chris Ivy inking. Kupperberg had a long series of credits. I looked him up, and he was very popular, in particularly in the 80s. Had several issues of New Universe, Mark Hazard, Merc number 3, Spitfire and Troubleshooter 7, Kickers Inc. number 9. Afraid I hadn't really paid that much attention to him now, I feel like. I was like,
The New Universe Journeyman.
there you go. Alan who? I didn't really know. You did something? Yeah, like 10 issues. Anyway. So the inside front covers of most of the books for a while now have been these sort of recap pages. But Nicieza seems to have gotten more and more creative with the Psi-Force ones. And this issue, we've got from the journal entry of Petrov Szymanski, acting administrative director, the Siberian Project for Paranormal Research. So it's a little, metadata, I guess, for
Yeah.
the story from
Acting,
the.
because did the original director get like nuked by Rostvow a while back or something? I know he killed some people, but.
That's the trouble. They're always kind of vague on titles and things. So it's even here, I was looking through this as like, is this one character a doctor or is this? And you can get, there's a couple of things that come out, but I don't remember if like, yeah, the I know Serge Vladimirov has been there before, but he's not the head. He's
Right.
just like
He just goes there to yell at them.
Exactly. So the director writes that it is September 4th, 1988, and that he tells us immediately why Psi-Force is in Russia, which I didn't expect, honestly.
No.
And even when they said, "Oh, they're in Russia now," I was like, "How'd that happen?" Rodstvow brought them home. Wow. Okay. A little unexpected, but this is what he tells us. Gift of Rodstvow, which has enabled us to learn so much these last 5 months. After their fight with as Psy-Hawk over Washington, D.C. in April, Rodstvow teleported back to the project grounds, bringing the four teenagers whose powers formed the Psy-Hawk in the first place. Then he kind of lists each of the Psy-Force members and like how they're doing. So we have Thomas has been up and around for a while, but he's been just been working out all the time and has a complete disregard for his surroundings or the condition of his friends. Although I did like when instead of waking up, He leached two doctors and a nurse of all their energy and was immediately revived. Do you remember the movie Life Force? I was always talking up to you.
Yes, though I never watched it.
Yeah, it was there's like several scenes where like it's this these energy vampires and like it completely drains people. Anyway, that's the image that comes to my mind, but Kathy Ling is just emerged from her coma a couple of weeks ago. She's very weak. Lindsay is maybe not awake yet, and Wayne is still in a coma. And we see that one in the first page, a bit of a splash page, and it's just Wayne. He's fully dressed, and he's sort of up against like a white background. That's sort of, he's just in his mind. And there's a bunch of text around it, which is, I suppose, him kind of telepathically screaming around the world to try to get help or something. So he's like, Babel, can you hear me? We're in the Siberian Project in the Yalta Peninsula. By the way, Yalta is part of Crimea, which is not in Siberia. I thought maybe he meant Yakutsk, but that's a like an inland city. Closest thing I could come up with was the Kamchatka Peninsula, which is the one on their eastern coast, sort of like north of Japan.
Yeah. Hey, well,
My.
maybe like he mind read one of the doctors who lived in Yalta and was thinking about it. So then he just assumed that's where he was.
Yeah, he'll tell Babel to come get them at like the other end of Russia. Yeah. It's a good plan. Yeah, they do say that like yeah, they're all the doctors are afraid of going anywhere near him, that they'll like he'll read their minds and everything.
Their personality, every sin, every hope, every thought.
So yeah, he keeps trying to reach out to the other members of the team, and then one Browning, what did you do with her body? No, she wasn't a piece of meat. How could you let them? I don't know what the hell's going on there.
I'm assuming they're talking about Stassi.
Yeah, it's like, I
But
don't know. They
what in the
took her
world?
for.
They feed her to the family or something. No, it's got healing powers.
It's. Yeah, more of Browning's great ideas. She says, Rodstvo, are you picking me up or what? You're gonna get it soon. Justice? No, there's no justice. Justice. We also see some over talking from a couple of other characters who seem to be Russian. And as we get into the second, third pages, there's a nice splash with the outside of the Siberian Project, which we've kind of seen before, and it's just this big like block wall, looks like a Supermax prison kind of thing.
Yeah, almost like a Cobra base or something, but without the style.
There you go. The title is up there, The Siberian Project Part One, The Emotional Refrigerator. Boy, I never heard that from a girlfriend before. Anyway, so these characters are Anya, this woman who's always smoking, and Gennady, who is a sort of a, I don't know, middle mature man with a beard. And they're talking about how the status of the various characters. Thomas is working out all the time. Lindsay is still in her coma, and Ling just got a is waking up, but then they just shaped her head, which she freaks out at the nurse. And the Ling, they sort of transition over to this Ling scene in her room as a someone rushes in with a syringe to sedate her, and she bends the needle on the syringe telepathically. And then Shivotnoya, this like animal woman paranormal, comes in and sort of holds Kathy down, and she gets the injection. So.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because like it breaks in and growls, and then like all the doctors are like ready to run away. They're like, ah, what hide? But then she just grabs Kathy and helps them, so.
Yeah, the this one is I mean, it seems like all the normals in the Siberian Project are scared to death of all the paranormals in the project. Which I mean, Rodsfow's been there for a while, so you can kind of see that. But Shvotnaya, you don't really know other than like she looks incredibly fierce, but her write-up as a official handbook page did say that she accidentally or not killed her family, so
Right, she
she's
was
dangerous.
trying to, lose her humanity and just become all beast or something.
Right. So we flash over to Thomas, who is doing like boxing against one of those big bags, I guess, until one of the guards tells him, "Das the teacher," which I did not look up, but he hands him a towel. Perhaps that's Russian for towel. I don't know. The one of them is most of the
I'm gonna say it means time to towel off, you sweaty, sweaty man.
Most of the conversations are in that little have the markers that show that like it's originally in Russian, and so they're just translating it for our convenience. So sometimes, you know, the guards will say something in English to them. So it's a little, you know, back and forth. I don't sure.
Yeah, they did a nice job, like not just ignoring the language barrier, though. Like, some of them can speak English well, and some can't, kind of thing. So.
That's fair. So Thomas is or they tell him to like go to the shower. Take this way, please. Shower. Yeah, duh, comrade. Comrade idiot. You shower with me, comrade. Maybe I'll shove the nozzle down your throat. Excuse, please. Never mind. What the heck was
Imagine
that?
he really meant up your something.
I'm not sure it translates well in English either. So the next page, things start getting crazy. Shto, as a guy on fire rushes out of a room while they're walking down the hall. There's some like alarm sounds, and a guy is running, screaming, "Demandusho! Bramp, what's going on in there? It is no concern to you, Mr. Boyd." That meme where the guy's like, "No, nothing to see here. No problem. No problem." Is like everything's on fire and behind
Right, yeah,
him,
this
and
is
you know, it's like
fine.
this is fine. So
Just
Boyd
normal operating business. That's why we
just
have
having
this.
a normal day, dude. What's your problem? I don't know. Yeah, the more fire comes out of this room, and Thomas is like, "Let's say we make it a concern of mine," and he towels off one of the guards to push him out of the way. He gets into the room, and it's like a padded cell, and in the middle is this small character with that Cylon mask we'd seen before. He's floating in midair and is, I guess, surrounded by flames. Honestly, this whole page has a lot of panels, and it would have maybe made more sense to have that like as like a big one, you know, it's more impressive.
The character reveal has some actual character details. Yeah. I guess
Yeah.
we kind of get it on the cover, but.
Yeah. So someone comes in, "Stand back, I have the toes." And they use the fire hose on him, which throws him right back against the wall, puts his fire out, and the guards are like, "Get him while he is down." They all take the old nightsticks and start beating up on him,
Yes,
which
just beat the crap out of him.
you'd never see that in America, would you, number Justice number 19, would you? No. Anyway,
Not till the 90s, with LA, but
well, I mean, it was the one where he's at Pit Aid and they all like jump him at the
oh,
end, and
right, yeah.
anyway, yeah, but these are Russians, so they're expected to be cruel and unusual. Anyway, Thomas jumps in, kicks them ninja style, right, and yeah, he takes down all the bark guards, and then he goes to the kid, and he's just a kid. His helmet off, it's just this sort of young boy with blonde hair. "You okay? You can talk?" "Ay, ay, 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 ay." Huh? Then they're telling him in Russian, "Stand back, you imbecile. The boy is uncontrollable." In English, somebody, "He is, what is the word? Autistic." Autistic.
Or it was
Autistic.
cool.
Autistic.
Also,
Autistic. So.
like a brutal panel of Thomas. Like it's the, I don't know, the inking or the face. It's just, it's not pretty.
Yeah, he's concerned about this kid. So we switch over to a meeting of some of the other paranormals and the controllers, and this is why it is a little hard for me to figure out. Even we've got them all, sitting together talking, and they do it, that sort of more naturalistic dialogue. So it's not, "Hey, Gennady, how's it going being the psychiatrist in charge of the paranormals here at the Severin Project in
Right.
Russia, where we work together?" So we've got
As you know, my relationship with this woman here has been on the rocks in the last couple of years. I took this assignment just because, well.
don't know if I mentioned my marital troubles to you before, but it's been in the back of my mind for a
I think
while.
I got it though. It's like Petrov is the acting director. He's the one who wrote the journal. Anya is, I'm not sure what she does.
I thought she was a doctor before, but no one calls her doctor in this issue, so I could be
Yeah.
wrong.
And then Gennady is the psychiatrist, and then Serge is like KGB guy. And
Right.
then the other two are like Red Sun Task Force, the actual paranormals.
Right. We've got Kujichis Q, this woman, Nadezhda, who's makes these cubes of force, and Silatochka. There's a guy named Micha? No, Leonid.
Leonid something or other.
He's got a real big head.
Big head explosion
Which yeah, it's I hope they play that for laughs soon because it is great. It is great.
guy.
They're talking about the what's his name? Simonsky. The leader is talking about it's a question of survival. We cannot allow the boy to continue jeopardizing our status. And Gennady is like, "You're not suggesting we murder the boy simply because of his handicap." "No, Gennady, I'm suggesting we murder him because of his parability." Huh. "It is, before we proceed with this disgusting conversation, I would like to further discuss my situation, please." "You're going to whine incessantly about your family again, Leonid." "Yeah, right, move, Serge." Yeah, Anya always is like the snarky comment woman. So Serge, I guess, is saying that his Leonid's family is kind of being held, quote, for his their protection, but basically to blackmail him into being in their on their team. And they're very disappointed in his performance in the Afghan affair. Leonid's not happy. "Comrade Vladimirov, I am a mechanic, not a killer." And he blows up Vladimirov's pen. "Although your attitude and actions are rapidly making me change my position on the matter." Rrr, Serge is mad. Leonid is suddenly encased in a green cube of force, the
Not the
ultimate
gelatinous
power.
cube.
"Leonid, no more. Nadezhda, it should be him you are stopping. I'm sorry, Leonid, but as a member of the Red Sun Task Force, you are my responsibility. And Vladimirov, my superior, for better or worse." So he calms down, the cube disappears. And Petrov is saying, "It would have been worse for you, Nadezhda, if your team does not begin to perform according to our expectations." "We are not performers, Comrade Szymanski. We are paranormal soldiers. My soldiers, Nadezhda, to do with as I command. And you'd best not forget that." Do my fake Russian for a minute and I'll just kill my throat.
This guy scarier or more controlling than his American versions, like Browning and the Weltschmerz Drill Sergeant Haldeman or
It would have been a little funnier if they did like put in some effort to make everyone exactly the same as everyone here.
whatever.
Oh, Comrade Browning-Knopf, why do you killed all these civilians? I don't get it. Okay, I did. So anyway, we switch over to Thomas Boyd, who's laying in bed with the briefs on, thinking to himself, autistic? And they're using clubs and guns on him. Enough is enough. Lights, camera. He hits the light that is on him and then hits the camera that is watching him. So he's in the dark with no camera on. So a minute later, the alarm brings his guard in. I think what he's trying to say here is "Stoschlutilas," which is like what's happening. The guard gets the old power drain from behind, and Thomas is stealing his clothes, ready for action. So he's out walking the hall, looking for the central computer system, and he thinks, I will need my good old interpreter for that. He looks at there's some sort of a wall panel that he rewires to get into the guard's room or something. And hi, Fetisov, I need a little help. Take me to the communications center. And we see the panel later that he's actually got another guard that they ran into on the way. And so then he leeches the other guy to get extra energy while Fetisov lets him into this control room and he enters and drags them in there. He says it looks like one he learned in eighth grade, which is, means he's like Bill Gates, like learning programming at, before that was even available and
Yeah, he
anywhere.
does kind of make fun of their technology along the way, which I think is kind of funny.
It was famously like, you know, reverse engineered a lot from Western tech. So, okay, fair enough. He tells the guard to, go start, translating the computer entries for him. And he wants to know about the autistic boy. What's his name? He has been called Demon Dusha. It means the demon within. If you're going to call someone in the Siberian Project a demon, probably the animal woman would be my choice. I
Well,
mean,
Rothschild, honestly, is scarier.
well, that's true.
He
That's true.
just
Okay.
kills everybody.
You're weak, Dusha. You are number three on the demon-looking
Right.
scale here. Anyway, commie, stupid commie idiots. He's just a kid with a lot of problems, not a monster. Thomas is looking at some files, I guess, on the screen.
This feels like a movie plot that I can't quite place, you know, like, you know, some misunderstood or some sort of kids being experimented on, kind of someone kind of breaks in, breaks him out, you know, but doesn't really quite understand the scope of the problem kind of thing, or like what's wrong with the kid. I don't know. Like it feels like something, but
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't re recognize it as a movie that either, but you're right. And like the layout of it does seem like it would be like a sequel to something. And yeah,
yeah.
it felt a lot to me, honestly, like the next season starts, and like half the cast is left, and you're like in this new
Oh, yeah. Like, wow,
location
how
and
did they get to
stuff.
Russia and all this? Wow. Yeah.
But anyway. So Thomas keeps yelling at the guard. You animals have been probing him, prodding him, using to fight your ridiculous wars. I want you to call up his medical records. I want to know if his autism is genetic or because of the project's abuses or those vaccines you insisted he take. Now, as the guy looks at something and is like, what does it say? Tell me. They're going to perform a lobotomy on him in 5 hours. Can you link up with the operating room equipment? We're gonna tear down this psycho ward. So we cut over to Lindsay, who's sort of waking up, And this nurse pops in. Good morning, Comrade Fowlman. Time for your medication. Lindsay
Russians really
touches.
call each other comrade all the time.
I don't know. I always kind of thought that was more like a cinematic thing,
Yeah, or at least like a military or kind of thing. I don't know.
But this is she's a nurse. I don't call someone Mr. Nurse, it's like anyway. Comrade is Tovarish, I think. But anyway. So touching the tray that the nurse brought in, Lindsay is like flooded with memories of the nurse. She's like making out with some dude in the closet or something. And then there's something stronger here. His family. He misses his family very much. I wish I could see them again. And we see several faces. I honestly don't know if this is Rudstvow, I know, lost his family. This guy Leonid is looking for his family. And I don't, is this And Dusha is probably a kid looking for his family, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know who she's talking about. Do you think? What do
Yeah,
you
I
what's your
couldn't place it at all. The pyrokinetic boy is actually sort of an interesting guess, just because like maybe he gets medication from the same tray, but it's super, I don't, yeah, I didn't get it.
That's a good point too. So Lindsay passes out, and
And the nurse
then
steals the pills.
steals the pills, which I thought was a cute, cute moment as well. There's plenty of people dependent on drugs in this madhouse. And we cut over to the operating room. The patient is under, doctor. Very well, let us begin. It's hot in here, isn't it? Someone check the room temperature, please. The patient is smoldering. There's like fire coming out of the blanket. I thought he was unconscious. My readings indicate he has been given enough anesthesia to sedate a cow. Then why is the boy smoking? Temperature is up to 105 degrees. Now, we all remember from the famous sci-fi novel, Fahrenheit 105, that that's the temperature where blankets start to burst into
Smolder, yeah,
flames.
the smoldering blanket temperature.
The boy has broken free, and there's like, stuff's on fire all over the room now, and he's just sort of floating in midair. Get a fire unit in here immediately. Doctors are fleeing for the doors. Doors are bursting into flames, so they're not going anywhere. What about the observation room? There's some explosion up there. The directors we'd seen before, we are in trouble now. No, get the fire units immediately and get someone to put a bullet through that monster's head. So the no, give the firefighters a chance. There's three guys in those like full body fire suits rushing into the room. Go for the carbon dioxide canisters. We can handle the boy, I hope. Boy sort of snaps back, and suddenly we've got the human torch there.
Yeah.
Tohev! The flames seem to be shaped into something, which these guys say it's a dragon, although it's a little hard to see.
Yeah, it's barely a face, so.
But we'll take their word for it. And then suddenly we see Thomas yelling, "Stop now!" And he's visible on like one of these television screens in the room. You have to stop this now. Please. Yes, calm down, please. What's your name? Question mark. Do you have a name? The fire guy is like, the fires have stopped. The boy is calming down. Thomas continues, I'm going to call you Johnny. Is that okay? Good. I am in control of the communications center. That means I can monitor all of your equipment and override it. The operation is over. He seems to be talking to the control leaders here. Serge, he's telling the truth. We can't get through over here. What she said, Vladimirov. No. No. How? Because we're not children anymore, Thomas continues. Because we have this nasty habit of getting what we want. And what I want now is for this kid to be left alone in my care and let me worry about him.
You worry about the adoption papers that I gotta fill out.
Look, I'm used to bursting into flames every now and then, so, it's fine with me.
Yeah.
I'm a regular laugh riot, Vladimirov. Now, put me in contact with someone in charge. There's no way an incompetent like you would be responsible for this place.
Ouch.
Yo! Yeah. The zing of the day. So, we see him, his whatever on the telescreen behind this leadership group again. I want to know why you're treating paranormals like this, like lab animals. What you're doing is wrong. It's what we fought against in America, and we'll do it again here if we have to. What do you suggest, Comrade Boyd? You leave the kid with me, then you leave us both alone. I'll work with him, I'll improve his condition. In return, neither one of us will bother tearing down this filthy place.
Yeah, the United States just, kidnapped him and trained him as an assassin and forced him to kill people. He wasn't a lab animal, though. That's way better.
Yeah, and we all remember when he took that gap year to work in a daycare center for a while. So he's used to special needs kids and I don't know. Hey, this is very noble, Comrade Boyd, but what do you know about caring for an autistic child? Not much now, I guess, but a heck of a lot more than you will once I erase every file from your system.
No. Yeah. It was in stereo, two of the guys.
Yeah, he's got the control room, which has screens and cameras and I guess a computer terminal. And yeah, he's got the upper hand. Anyway, Comrade Boyd, be reasonable. Let's say we turn the boy or child over to you and you fail. What do we do then? You can put a bullet through my head, terminate me. Then you airlift the kid and drop him over Washington, D.C. or Peking. Think of the trouble he'd kick up. They're sold. It's a deal. Which is, that's I think an unexplored avenue for paranormals. There's like training and everything. It's like some of them, honestly, you could just give them an air ticket to this foreign city and the place would be, flattened within a few days,
Yeah.
the way they
I think
go
it's
off.
funny how easily they go for it. They're like, all right, let's do this.
Yes.
It's like, this isn't the United States. We do negotiate with terrorists. You want some pickled fish?
Yeah, I'm sorry, this does not translate in Russian. We don't even know this concept. You'll have to work with our translators more. So he says to bring the kid to him and cross me, and this place becomes a bad special effect from the A team. So, the fire guys are still worried that they're going to he's going to go nuts. But no, he's sitting down. So the kid is sitting on the bed and making noises. Nadyezhda says, "If I didn't know better, I'd swear he was laughing at us." So we have a. Urge says we have established a very beneficial relationship with Mr. Boyd today. No, that's Petrov.
Yeah, the director.
Yeah, really? Here I was thinking he has manipulated us completely. By giving Boyd what he demanded, he has played directly into our hand. If he succeeds, we have a pyrokinetic soldier of limited intelligence. Ouch.
Yeah.
If he prolongs this charade, then we have plenty of resources with which to blackmail him into submission. Or have you forgotten his friends, the other Psi-Force children? And.
Notably, though, like his first steps when he was fed up was not to break out his friends, right? So.
I kind of. I mean, I don't get the sense that they're in any communication with each other, but it's possible he knows that half of them are still comatose or like so weak that, if he was to like, hey, everyone, let's break out of here, you'd have to carry two of them and the one that is awake can barely get out of bed.
Right.
So I don't know if that's. Honestly, like my reading of the story was just that he woke up, he was so pissed off about Stassi He is just emotionally shut down completely. What did
Right.
they call it? Emotional refrigerator? I don't think
Yeah.
that's Dusha. Yeah, so.
Right. Okay. And then he kind of snaps out of it when he sees the kid getting the crap beaten out of him.
Yeah, so I mean that makes sense in a sort of a normal, young person. He can identify with it. Perhaps he was more the bully himself, but he's already sort of growing out of that. And I think it's, that's a reasonable I think the character moment, like the if you got your own problems, but you're like, oh, let me help this other guy out, that will sort of, help you and by doing it. So that part makes sense. It's not super colorful there at the Siberian Project. I don't know.
This was an interesting issue. I think like it takes a lot of work, honestly, maybe. Like the first time I read it, I'm like, oh, this is not very good. And then the second read through, I kind of got it more, looked past some of the artistic gaffes a little bit, and and then I kind of, I don't know, followed it or was more kept interested in the story. The first read, I was unimpressed. I was just not feeling it.
I
And then
kind of know
going
what
through
you
it for
mean
the
there.
podcast one more time, it's kind of like, all right, I think it just needs some analysis. Like it's not, I don't know, maybe that's a writing issue, I suppose. Like it's just.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on us or on them, because I don't think it's fair to be like, oh, you only read my comic book once. You just didn't get it. Yeah, it's like, come on. But okay, so I think our initial, yeah, it's a little, I don't know, cramped or something, or we're just maybe they are trying to get in enough of these exotic details and the personal conflicts and the administrative state there and all this. Maybe it's just too much to get on the page with, so the penciling becomes kind of cramped and overdone.
Because we kind of caught up a little bit of where everybody's at. I mean, it's a Thomas Boyd story mostly, but the Russians get some screen time, just kind of like show how their operation's working. We don't really get to learn anything about the Demon Dusha or Johnny very much. And we kind of learned about the
Wouldn't
other.
Donnie have been good? I don't know.
We kind of learned about the other paranormal Russians from their handbook pages, which I think I said last time. Like, but I wonder if this is intentional, kind of like teach us about them now, so you don't have to do the whole backstory of everybody in the comic. But
Yeah, it's
it kind of worked.
yeah.
Otherwise, like weird yak woman just kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, if you hadn't read that back page, and like, what?
Yeah, the characters got like a one panel each intro back in a number 23, so that's a few issues ago now. But they've been hanging out. Siberian Project up until, I don't know, just before that was just like Rodstvow and or Stasi. So yeah, we knew there was a facility, but we never saw other more paranormals until fairly recently. So yeah, this whole team, I don't know, they've introduced a couple of them now. Is there more? I think this is pretty much it. Yeah,
Yeah,
so.
like they would definitely set up the pyrokinetic kid, Johnny. I'm just gonna go with Johnny because it's easier to say. I'm with you there, Boyd. Because like he had shown up a couple times in little panels here and there, like when the Psyhawk was dying, and it's like, oh, sorry, man, we never even got to know you or something like that.
So long, Cylon warrior.
And
Silent Cylon.
and then like he looks more like a teenager, like a long-haired teen kid in his handbook page, whereas here he's got like the blonde shaved head look, and can't really speak. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with the character, if anything, I guess. Like, but
Yeah.
it's also kind of nice. Like we're in issue 27, and like I feel like we're kind of tying back to the beginning though, right? Like it all started with breaking Stasi out of the Russians and the Siberian Project, and we've gone a
Surge.
whole way since then. Yeah, we're back to Surge and they're in Russia. They can
Yeah,
use their
yeah,
powers better, but they're in a bad way. Some people have died, new characters, blah blah blah. It's kind of come full circle, like so from like a planning writing thing, like that's pretty cool.
yeah. Yeah. You can imagine this as their final their next level boss fight, whatever.
Yeah. If we don't ever get like the last panel of the last comic of Psi-Force, if they're like them like joining hands and like let's call ourselves Psi-Force and they go out into the world with their cool jackets on, like I'll be bummed if we don't get to see that.
Those jackets from Thomas's dream were pretty great.
They
I
keep
gotta
popping up
say,
though, like Wayne in the beginning, like
oh
was wearing it.
yeah, he's got his old fingerless gloves too. Yeah, I remember seeing these covers and wondering why everyone's head was shaved. So I guess that was part of their treatment here.
Yeah, it's the same problem as from like the draft though. It's like you shave everyone's head and you lose a lot of what makes them look like individual characters. So.
Yeah, even Johnny is now, yeah, he's the blonde with the crew cut. Kathy is the brunette with the crew cut.
Yeah, honestly, like I think we've fallen into this trap before, but like the art is a little hit and miss. And like especially in the very end, like bottom of 21, like Thomas Boyd looks like a 40-year-old Marine sergeant rather than like a 18 or 19-year-old or whatever he's supposed to be.
Good, yeah. He is grizzled like Sergeant Haldeman there.
Yeah, though my son reports to me that there's a middle school kid with a beard, so maybe it's okay. Just genetics.
He's a redhead, and they get out in the sun too much. You know how that goes. It's a it's not from the sunny parts of the world. Well, I don't know. I will say about a B on that
Yeah,
myself.
okay, yeah.
I'm
I don't know how to rank it because yeah, my opinion of it really changed and has been slowly improving over time, but it's not fantastic. Maybe B minus.
perhaps you're better. That's even better one.
Yeah.
The
Great inflation is a real thing.
it is. You get towards the end of the year and you're just like, yeah, whatever, pass you. Okay, fine. Pass.
We don't
Yeah,
want to see
totally
you
forget what
again.
I was going to say with that.
Any other last thoughts on Psi-Force?
I think this is the first and maybe the only time we have like an official like multi-part saga, because I've been saying for a while they've been making like three-part storylines and stuff.
Right.
But now we're officially like it's the Siberian Project part one. I don't know that this is will end up feeling like you could spin it off into a separate graphic novel or something, but it's fun to see. That was, I guess, becoming a more popular tactic at this point.
Yeah, and you can look at the next cover without it being too spoilery. But yeah, the connecting cover thing is kind of cool. I'm not sure, I haven't pulled them all out to see if it goes all the way to issue 32 or not, but like the next three definitely all connect. So that's one of those comic book gimmicks that I always enjoyed. As long as it's not variants, right? It's not like you have to buy four issues of the same dumb comic to connect it. X-Men. But
To be honest, I would probably prefer that to the fold out, because then you can just have the individual ones, lay them up,
yeah, I don't like the fold out.
then you're like, what do I do with this?
Time for a backup story.
Yeah, let's hit a backup story there.
Power play. Which I guess makes sense.
It's It's a good title with a bad story. I don't know.
We were joking about Fabian Nicieza taking over all of the backup stories for a while, but yeah, he's writing this one with Christopher Ivey as the artist who inked the rest of this issue. David Wohl, editor. But yeah, back to the backup, and this was pretty timely because it picks up for what Tyrone is up to. So he had woken up and in his body again last issue, but he'd been in a coma for a while, so like we weren't expecting too much. But apparently he's in the army. So the opening page, we get a narration. His name is Tyrone Jessup. He's a young man with an old problem. He's afraid of the truth. I'm like, okay, I don't know what that means, but he's in a wheelchair on the edge of a building with Pitbull and Bazooka behind him, looking scared. He's like, please don't. And you know, so they're up on top of one of the buildings in the army base, and Pitbull's like, it's payback time, Zap boy. We owe you for what you did to us when we broke your buddy Boyd out, or when you broke your buddy Boyd out. He's like, no, I don't have my powers. Because yeah, he can like fly through and kind of paralyze people. So for some reason, that's part of his ghost powers now. Yeah, I guess old grudges die hard. I think they're just trying to scare him, is what we get later on, but there's a couple panels of him basically like tipping his wheelchair over the edge, just with him left to hang on. But I guess maybe his arm strength hasn't come back yet, because he just falls right off. It's also like two of my favorite like bad art panels ever in the new universe on page 24 of like this like really weird cartoony pulled out kind of drawing of Pitbull. Just something about it made me chuckle.
Yeah, the head shape is a little unnatural, let's say.
Yeah,
And
everything
then
about
you'd
it.
pointed out the hands are also kind of a mess.
Yeah, it looks like it's almost a step down from like the AI drawn hands. It's just kind of like somebody scribbled something in there. Hey, he had to ink the whole issue, so not as much time to pencil in the backup, I guess.
I hate to say it, but as a penciler, Chris Ivey is a functional inker. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's not pretty. But yeah, they actually end up dumping him over the side. And they're like, uh-oh. Like, they didn't mean to. But he gets caught in the, I don't know, they just look like paranormal, like playground monkey bars kind of things that the one guy from the draft can do. So, like, hey. Tyrone's like, are these tubes? He's like, oh yeah, that guy. Like, which is probably like the best line is like, oh, I remember that guy. Like, he hasn't shown up in like a year, but I guess he still exists. So we got Garth who
He
can
speaks for all of us.
make the tubes, and then Chris is flying in on his hubcap. Again, both shaved heads, so they really don't look like anything. So they rescue him, bring him back on the roof. And then Blur and Sergeant Haldeman come out to yell at them. So Haldeman does his drill sergeant routine. He says, I'll lay it on a little thicker while Jessup can still hear me in his thought balloon. But yeah, he just starts yelling at them and gives them the Weltschmerz, I think, because they kind of crumble down to the ground looking scared. They call Tyrone into the office and he's like, all right, Jessup. So it's Weltschmerz, Sergeant Haldeman, and the smellhound guy. Shoot, what's his name?
Zentner.
Zentner.
Although I know they got his title wrong. They call him Lieutenant Zentner, and
Yeah.
he's a major in
They also made
the
him
book.
black in that one, in that panel where they call him a lieutenant too. So he's colored brown. So it's this backup is a total mess. He's like, what's your problem? Why didn't you just fry those losers? And he says, because I lost my powers. And he kind of like, you get his eyes and he kind of flashes back. When Psy-Hawk died, he lost his powers. He woke up from the coma and they were gone. Maybe tied for second worst art panel. There's one where it's kind of like a close up on like his shadowed face. And oh, geez, like, what's. Yeah, like mine is like lipstick red. Yours looks a little better. But it just reminds me of that black actress. She was in like Conan or like Red Sonja. So maybe she was a model or
Oh,
something.
Grace Jones.
He turns into
Yeah,
Grace Jones for a second there.
you don't want to do that. That it's way overpowering. Yeah. On the one you'd shown me. This is.
It's close to like Mr. Popo, Dragon Ball Z, like black caricature colors. It's not good. But I guess Zentner can smell that he's lying. And so Haldeman gives him the Weltschmerz, the world pain, and that his deepest fear is that his family will be branded as pariahs because he's a paranormal. And this kind of like shocks Tyrone into using his power, but not quite. So, like, instead of leaving his body in the astral projection, some kind of like random energy just kind of comes out of him and zaps the two of them unconscious, at least unconscious for a second. He's like, "You happy, Sarge? I still have my power abilities, but I can't control them anymore. I could hurt someone, electrocute them, tear them apart without wanting to. I'm out of control. I'm afraid. Also, it's convenient to the plot because otherwise I'd be able to fly right over to the Siberian Project and rescue everybody, and we don't want that to happen right away. So I've lost my power." But actually, it does kind of make sense, like, because he's been outside of his body for so long. So then maybe like the reunion, has kind of changed the way the powers work. So I kind of buy it. And Haldeman's like, "You think you're afraid now, Jessup? You better learn how to use your powers again, or I'll teach you a whole new world of fear." To be continued. So yeah, Tyrone's alive and his powers aren't working great. Probably could have just been one page in this comic or something, rather than this whole setup. And then it might have been drawn in a way that wasn't embarrassing.
I like the idea of, the paranormal squad one or whatever we'll call it. It's not exactly, fun time hijinks. Pitbull and Bazooka's little play a little rough, okay. You do get the metallurgist and Gridlock back for a quick panel, which maybe keeping them in the public eye is a good idea since you built them up so big and I don't think we're doing anything
Prestige
with them.
format.
And yeah, the it gets a little weird with like who's in charge here, because like the sergeant or the lieutenant who's actually a major, it's like who's reporting to who at the end. You're kind of, I don't know. The overall Tyrone being having issues is a good swerve for you. There's like no visible scarring or anything, although he was burned beyond recognition a few months ago.
Oh, that's
That's
a
a
good
bit
point
much.
too. Yeah, even last comic, he was still pretty crispy looking.
But I don't know. It's been, if we assume it's the same, like several months past the Psyhawk, and then he was several months before that in, just with his body in the hospital. I don't know how long we're talking. Yeah, I don't know.
It's mostly the art, right? Like the
It's
story
mostly
of
the
the
art, yeah.
idea and the following up with
If
Tyrone.
Art Adams had done this, yeah, I'd love it, sure.
Right. Like, it's just so the art is so bad that it kind of messes up the whole thing because it's just a couple pages, a little check-in kind of piece, which is fine, but.
I kind of remember when we'd like they told us how to give scientific talks, like don't give like something bad on your last slide, you
That's
know
what
what I
everybody
mean?
will remember.
Exactly, yeah. So don't have a screw off six pager backup that everyone will just think back on this issue and be like, ooh, what was up with Pitbull's hands there? Alrighty. Let's call it a day. I guess we'll see more of this storyline, so
I guess. You want to briefly go over the new ads?
Sure. We've got Milestone Month. This is interesting that Avengers 300, Captain America 350, and Thor 400 are all coming out at the same time.
Yeah. This will never happen again because they just renumber everything now. So like no Marvel comic will ever go from 1 to 300.
Yeah, it's Avengers was a year or two after Fantastic Four, so I'm thinking they're somewhere in like 325 or so. But yeah, Captain America and Thor had started as those, other titles in the 60s, which I'm terrible at remembering what they were.
Yeah, I tried to look up what the legacy numbering would be, like what the Avengers comic that comes out this month, like what would its legacy number be, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, 60 years, 700, and you're probably getting 750, getting
It's
close.
got to be getting up there, but
We have again the Suicide Is Not the Answer
yeah,
promo.
I think they just gave up updating those.
This there's a certain sense of we gave up throughout this whole backup material, which I don't want to belabor, but. Now, we do have the on sale this month with the covers from the Star Brand, Justice, DP7, and Psi-Force. DP7 is another one of those like multi-part covers, which I think I can tell Stephanie is down there at the bottom. That's
Looks like
cute.
Stephanie's punching out Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
That should be interesting.
And then Justice is in a cemetery.
With the
And
creeping cred gravestone with the guy hiding behind it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I really like
And
the Star Brand one in this form because like you can see like someone standing over like a cliff, and I think it's like the pit, but with like glowing hands of power. So like in the tiny version in black and white and like shrunken down, like you don't know who's there, but like the real cover, like it's the Wilford Brimley guy.
it is like, yeah, graphic design is good with that. I mean, the image is strong even at this reduced scale and detail. Whereas the DP7, it's now that you mention it, I think that one of those is the antibody like up against a volcano, which I think there was that like there's a volcano growing in the pit
Oh,
in one of the
right, yeah.
things. So I don't know.
And is Dave Landers up against like the wind guy from Justice?
Maybe
Or somebody else? I don't know.
I mean, it's just that we shrunk this down so much that even though it's a nicely detailed cover, that kind of works against it in this case.
Yeah.
So,
But I am excited because we do know that Gruenwald can handle one DP7 issue that has like three comic stories in it. So he's pulled it off already. So
yeah. We've got an ad for the Marvel Masterworks, which are still covering things from like up to issue 20 of the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, X-Men, or the Avengers.
yeah, Uncanny X-Men 11 to 21. Dang.
Yeah, there's they're up in the volume 20 something now. It's really going into early 80s. Well, so although that's like my preferred collection electronically, I'm like, come on, guys, give me some mid-80s stuff here. I
Yeah,
want these.
that's got to be one of those like you're collecting them, but probably not reading them.
Indeed. And then there's something called The Light and Darkness War, which is a nice looking graphic novel. Maybe we'll look up what that was, check into it next time. And the back cover is an ad for the Punisher Assassin's Guild graphic novel, which I did find did exist, but I didn't really investigate any, how well it went or anything. It's
I'm
written
guessing the
by.
Punisher gets mad and kills people.
That's what it looks like. There's maybe a couple of kids, gang kids or something. I don't
Yeah.
know.
All right. So that is it for this week. Next time, New Universe checks in on our displaced paranormals, plus a cast of thousands, DP727, in a searing tale of honor, redemption, and death. DP7's Dave Landers and two other paranormals embark on a suicide mission into the pit. Do any of them come back alive? That's not as important as what they see and experience once they get there. Dang, that's a good one. Did you write that one? Written by Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, inked by Danny Bulinotti.
Sometimes they kind of overdo it with these the Cotton Marvel Age copy, but yeah,
That's
that's
only
pretty.
one. Yeah, that's only one third of the story, I bet, too. But yeah, in the meantime, kickersinc.com, newuniversepodcast@gmail.com. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Browning, what did you do with her body? No, she wasn't a piece of meat.
He's just a kid with problems, not a monster.
Then why is the boy smoking?